This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work.
Thank you for supporting WBEZ. You keep public media public. December gifts are among the most important because they set the tone for our reporting in 2026. Next year, we're doubling down on bringing you stories that arm you with the facts. This journalism relies on everyone contributing what they can. Join them today at wbez.org/donate.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. The battle over the real estate transfer tax to combat homelessness in Chicago continues. The city's election board decided to appeal last week's ruling, invalidating the Bring Chicago Home referendum. Real estate industry groups say it violates state law by combining both a tax hike and a tax cut in the same question. We checked in with WBEZ's Mariah Wolfel and Tessa Weinberg for the latest. Tessa starts out by explaining why the Chicago Board of Elections is appealing last week's ruling.
They are reiterating that they feel they are not the proper party. They say they are simply the people that administer elections that, since the city council passed this resolution, the city clerk, authorized it, that now it is their job to have this on the ballot, and that they really don't have the authority to rule whether this is legal or illegal, whether this is properly worded, that it's the city that needs to be the party that can actually speak to the substantive arguments about, is this legally valid the way this question is worded. The city is also requesting to appeal the case. They were denied at the circuit court level to be a party in the case, but they're also appealing, arguing they're the ones that can address those substantive arguments.
So should Chicago voters still be voting for this measure on their ballots in the coming weeks?
Yeah, that is what people on both sides of this who oppose and support this referendum are encouraging folks to do. That right now, since it is in this legal limbo as parties try to appeal this, that voters should still be casting their ballot. It's still going to be, printed on, it's on these mail ballots that have already been mailed out. It's going to be on your voting machines. The Board of Elections was ordered to simply suppress and not count these votes, but they were not yet ordered to actually strike this from the ballot. So as of now, it's still appearing for folks to vote on.
And Mariah, the Bring Chicago Home campaign group, right, which has led this intense ground effort to reach folks on this issue, what are they saying right now?
Well, they have long called this a last-ditch effort by real estate and business groups to discount this referendum because they oppose the tax in general, not because they actually have specific concerns with the referendum language. That's, the claim of the Bring Chicago Home group. And as Tessa said, they are telling supporters to continue to vote on this. They're moving full speed ahead with their ground game, knocking on doors still, and telling people that this is still on the ballot. Circuit Court Judge Kathleen Burke didn't go so far as to say, you have to instruct voters not to pretend as if this isn't on your ballot, which is a potential avenue she could have gone.
Right.
Instead, both the real estate groups and, Bring Chicago Home, as Tessa said, are telling people continue to vote on this in case an appeals court rules in favor of the referendum and these votes should be counted at the end of the day.
So what I'm hearing you say is this group is very vocal. They're still out there knocking on doors. But we know, Mariah, that Election Day is drawing closer and closer. So, how much time does that realistically leave this group to fight this ruling?
Well, because of the nature of what the ruling is that votes, should just be suppressed and not that, you have to remove this from the ballot. I mean, theoretically, this could continue through the election. And I think the appellate court is potentially going to move quickly on this. We could see a ruling on it in the next week or so.
Oh, okay.
And that's, I think, what both sides want is some clarity because you don't want confusing information being sent to voters as they're, seeing headlines about this and wondering whether they should vote on it or not.
Yeah. So we could see a decision on this appeal in as little as 7 days.
Yeah, the today is the deadline for some of those filings to be due. And then so we'll probably get a decision very quickly from the appeals court. They're trying to move fast, you know, in an expedited manner because, you know, the election is coming up.
WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work offers a one-year advanced standing option for students with a bachelor's degree in social work that builds on prior training and connects students with expert faculty and 5 specialized pathways. Apply by February 1st at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
Help us understand, Tessa. I mean, why do voters need to approve this? Why can't the city just increase taxes to get these funds?
Yeah, so the reason this is going before voters and has this very specific process is because it's required by state law for Chicago to be able to increase this real estate transfer tax or change the transactions it would apply to. State law outlines voters have to approve it, and there's very specific steps from a public hearing that needs to be held to even how the question is worded. So that's why we are having to go through this process and why the city needs voters to authorize this tax increase to then give the city council authority to be able to actually enact it and pass it.
Now, you alluded to this already, Mariah, but the judge who ruled the measure invalid didn't initially release much detail on her order. So when will we know more?
I don't know if we will. I mean, we might see that play out in appellate court based on what the sides argue. But as you said, the judge in her ruling did not give an opinion on which of the plaintiff's arguments held the most water. The plaintiffs had kind of multiple arguments that the question is too vague, that it combines multiple questions into one ballot, and then some, you know, sub arguments. And typically a judge will come out and say, you know, this one maybe doesn't carry as much water, but this one is the reason behind my ruling. Mm-hmm. We didn't see that. And in her written order, she kind of said, for the reasons stated in open court, I'm siding with the plaintiffs. You know, Tessa was in court and would, I think, agree that the judge did not give, you know, a verbal explanation of her order either.
Oh, really?
You know, it was kind of a long hearing where she read verbatim all of the filings in the case and then ended it by kind of saying, I'm going to rule in favor of the plaintiffs. And, you know, that's that.
And that was that.
We'll see how that plays out in the appellate court, because in an appeals process, you know, the defendants will typically point to the judge's reasoning and argue to the appellate court why that judge's reasoning wasn't sound. And so, yeah, we don't have much of an indication from Judge Burke about why she sided with plaintiffs.
Even still. Now, is there any concern, Tessa, that this back and forth, that it could impact voter turnout?
I think that's a real question a court would have to try and wrestle with, just this idea of, you know, if the referendum question is found valid, those votes will be counted. How do you wrestle with the fact that, you know, it has been off the ballot at the moment, you know, for voters? How do you wrestle with that maybe confusion of, is it on or off? This idea of, should they vote for it or not, even though they're seeing it, but there's these court headlines.
And what does voter turnout look like so far?
Yeah.
Do we know?
Currently, it's a little bit higher than the previous elections in 2020 and 2016 for the primary. As of Monday night, according to the Board of Elections, it's nearly 13,500 ballots have been cast so far, which is slightly higher, but we'll see how things pick up. I'm sure lots of folks, you know, are being driven for the presidential, you know, primary and their races. But this is also, you know, one of, I think, the most kind of high profile issues on the ballot, too.
Absolutely. What else do people need to know about voting, Mariah?
Well, that they should get out there and do it. You know, I think like the main message from both sides is that you should vote on this as if it were going to be counted. As Tessa alluded to, that's a huge concern for both sides here. And that's why both opponents and proponents are still telling people and are still campaigning for or against this, because you fear like if people see a headline that a judge has invalidated this, that maybe opponents don't think that they have to go and voice their opinion on
it.
And then you see a skewed, you know, tally at the end of it. But, you know, the bar is kind of low for turnout in primary elections. In 2020, the city saw a 37-38% turnout. And so in 2016, it was above 50. And so that's kind of where the threshold is and what we could maybe expect to see this year.
And that's why it's good that we have these conversations, so we could break it down and explain the importance of this. Tessa Weinberg and Mariah Wolfel are WBEZ City Government and Politics reporters. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced and mixed by Brenda Ruiz, edited by Maha Ahmed, engineered by Haley Bloomquist, and hosted by yours truly. An all-women team on the pod today, which seems fitting as we mark Women's History Month here on Reset. Now make sure to check back this afternoon. We'll be dropping an episode featuring the founders of Women and Children First, a pioneering feminist bookstore in Chicago that first opened in the 1970s and remains a bastion of inclusion and great literature today. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thank you for listening.
I love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.